We greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I titled our message for this morning, The Six Hebrew Children and the Fiery Furnace. And you might want to keep your Bible open to Daniel chapter 3. We want to look at seven characteristics of authentic faith. There is a threefold purpose to this message. First of all, I hope that this message will be an encouragement to you young people as you travel the road of faith. And we have a lot of young people. We have been blessed here at Pleasant Hill with a lot of young people. Secondly, I hope that each of us middle-aged and older ones can catch the vision and catch the zeal that's proposed to us within this account. And thirdly, our prayer focus for March and April is that we would pray for our young people. And I hope we can kind of use this as a blueprint in our prayers for our young people here at Pleasant Hill. This historical account happened around 600 BC. Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, had been taken from their land, and they had been carried captive into Babylon. Soon in Daniel chapter 2, 45 and 49, it says, "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the Chaldean names given to the three Hebrew youth we mentioned earlier. At this time, these youth were about 20 years old. If you were like 5 years before that or 5 years after, it means you're like 15 to 25. How many here are anywhere 15 to 25? Can I see your hands? We have quite a bit of youth here close to the age of these three. They were given important positions in the government where they had been taken captive. But something very important happens later. It's probably about 3 years later. They were called, along with all the other rulers, the leaders and the lawyers of Babylon, to go to the plain of Dura. The plain of Dura. The king had set up an idol. It was possibly an image of himself. It was 90 feet high. Can you picture it? 90 feet high by 9 feet wide. And they were to meet in front of this statue. And the purpose was they were to bow down and worship the statue. I don't think these three Hebrew youth were the only Hebrew youth that were going. Nebuchadnezzar had taken many Hebrew youth captive. Probably some other Hebrew youth also had positions within the government. So they also had to travel to the plain of Dura. I'm not sure what their names were, but they easily could have been Oakback, Fatlack, and Abigigo. Oakback, Fatlack, and Abigigo. And I don't want any of you children to get Abigigo mixed up with Abednego because they were completely different. They were opposites. In fact, as we travel with these six youth who were now around 20 to 23 years old, we want to contrast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Oakback, Fatlack, and Abigigo. The first three had characteristics of authentic faith. The last three didn't. So let's travel to the plains of Dura with these six Hebrew youth. They soon see the head of the golden statue as it appears far on the horizon. It looks like a small sun as the light reflects upon it. So far is it in the distance. And then as they get closer, they see the shoulders. And then they see the torso. And then finally the legs take shape. And then as they get even closer, they see this huge furnace where the statue was made. You see metal was put into the furnace. It melted and it was stirred around. They removed all the impurities from the gold. It was refined, it was tried, and then molded and shaped into that 90-foot idol that now stood in front of them. And how symbolic that was. Because unknown to them, these six Hebrew youth We're going to see their faith tested by fire. Is it golden or is it false? And that's the first characteristic. Authentic faith will always be tested. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Opak, Phatlak, and Abednego, they had been simply going on with their lives for the last couple years. But now, the statue, the furnace was suddenly thrust upon them, and they would be tested to see what their faith was made of. Young people, the day of testing will surely come. Sure, you can go about your life, your high schooling, your job, your career, college, but unknown to you, you are walking towards the plain of Dura. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you." Perhaps it will be the fire persecution that will test your faith. You will be tested to see your true view of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God, like you said at your baptism? Do you renounce Satan and all his pernicious ways? It's on the horizon. It's getting even closer. And as you turn into adults, your faith in biblical truth will be tested. Do you really believe that the head veiling is necessary? Do you really believe that seductive dress is a sin like you have been taught? Do you really view love of the world to be in opposition to love for Christ? The road is getting wider. The statue towers over you. The furnace roars in front of you. Authentic faith, it will be tried. As we look at this historical account, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith proved to be authentic. But Opak, Phatlak, and Abednego were proved to be false. What will the furnace prove in you? I want to ask us as a congregation, will we pray for our young people? Pray that as the testings come, they will stand strong. Will we pray that their faith would be increased? I want you to look around that statue again. Look at the thousands of people gathered around it from different tribes and languages. Verse 3, "Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up." This was like the who's who of Babylon, wasn't it? All were gathered here by the king. He had just taken various countries captive. And what he wanted to do, he wanted to unify their religious system. You see, all these nations, they worship different gods. He wanted them to unite in one religious system, and that of worshiping him. Sure, maybe they could still worship their own god, but they also had to be willing to bow down to one god, all of them, which was him. I want you to look at that huge crowd from many cultures and many customs. And I want you to look towards the front, because that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, they were pretty high up in the government, so I'm sure they were sitting close to the front. And possibly back about 10 rows are Opak, Phatlak, and Abednego, because they didn't have quite as much prestige. But hold on. Something's happening. Listen. "Then Herod cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.'" Different languages. But you see, music was a unifying force to help bring about obedience to the king's command. You see, there is power in music to bring people to worship the true God. But there is also power in music to bring people to worship the devil. There was two wind instruments. There were stringed instruments. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they see the orchestra staged around the idol. They hear the messenger's words. They see the statue. It's blocking out the sun to the east, and its shadow casts a darkness over their souls. And they remember the city of Jerusalem, which also lies to the east. And they think of the temple. They think of the presence of God Jehovah, the creator of the sun, the moon, the planets, and the earth. Yet that great image lies before them. And the decision lies before them. It's their moment of testing. The music starts. To picture what happened, I want us to think of when we have closing devotions. And sometimes if the brother doesn't have anything to add, he just raises his hand and the whole congregation prostrates themselves in kneeling. Can you hear the music start? And the thousands, like a human wave, prostrate themselves towards that 90-foot-tall golden temple. Except three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bend. They would not bow. Everyone else, including Opak, Phatlak, and Abigigo, Neil, all the others fell like dominoes. It was like a tornado flattened the plain of Dura, leaving just three trees standing. And that is the second characteristic of authentic faith. Authentic faith means being different by standing up for truth. You know, there is no neutral zone in authentic faith, is it? There's no neutral zone. You cannot be partly for the one true God and partly for the world. You can't get I'm just going to bow on one knee and be half with those who bow and half with those who stand. Jesus said, he who is not with me is what? Against me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm for truth. Opak, Phatlak, and Abigigo laid down into falsehood. You know, I had to think. I'm sure that Opak, when the music started, I'm thinking he looked back to see if anyone else was standing. And he saw everybody behind him kneeling, and he gave in to peer pressure. But can you see Shadrach? He looked past the orchestra. He looked past the idol. He looked towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, and his faith rested in the true and living God. Young people, who do you look towards to define truth? Do you look behind you towards the crowd? Or do you look towards God and his word? Are you willing to stand up when others are laying down? Stand up for the doctrines of the faith. Stand up for pure living. Stand up for a life committed to serving Christ. Stand up for truth and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, the more you are into truth, the more you will be different from the world. Do you believe that? The more you're into truth, the more you will be different from the world. And I want to commend you, young people, for the various and many stands for truth that you have taken time after time. I remember hearing the account of a young married couple in a conservative brethren church. They were invited with some other couples to the home of someone from their congregation to watch a movie. And they soon realized they had a choice. They could either stay sitting and watch the sexual content on that movie, or they could stand up and leave and be different. They chose to stand up and leave. I praise God they did that. I praise God for each of you that have been willing to make choices for truth. Prayer point. Let's pray for our youth that they would be willing to be different and standing up for truth. Pray that they would not look around to find what truth is. Pray that they would look to God and to His Word, and pray that their relationship with God would increase so that they could know what truth is. Is that time for me to quit, brother? No.
It means I forgot.
You know, our choices have consequences. Sometimes standing for truth results in confrontation. Look at what happened next. Verse 8, 9, and then we're going to skip to 12. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, why did these Chaldeans snitch on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, did you notice the prejudice? And George emphasized that when he read that. There are certain Jews. They were prejudiced against the Jewish race. Also, they were jealous that these three had high positions in authority. But you know, that wasn't the main reason. Here is the main reason. Evil always hates good because it brings to light their evilness. That's a third characteristic of authentic faith. Evil always hates good because it brings to light their evilness. You see, the believer has in him the spirit of the Holy One. The unbeliever has in him the spirit of the evil one. These two spirits, they react to each other violently. The unbeliever can't stand the spirit of the believer. They're in opposition to each other. It reproves him. It judges him. It brings to light his darkness. And that is the main reason they hated them. These Chaldeans, they were not reproved by the spirit of Oakback, Fatlack, and Abednego. Rather, the authentic face of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought to light their evil deeds. And therefore, that's why they reported them to the king. Young people, I want to ask you, does the world hate you? In 1 John 3, verse 3, it says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world, what? Hate you. Jesus said in John 15, 18 to 20, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Young people, when others make fun of you because of your stand for the truth of modesty, count it all joy. When others criticize you for being different, for not fitting in. Well, they did the same to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they did the same to Jesus Christ, so you are in good company. I commend you, young people, for the spirit of holiness that's manifest in many of you, your willingness to witness for Christ, your willingness to serve Christ, your genuine love that wants to meet the needs within our congregation. I commend you for that. I want to encourage you to keep standing tall. Brothers and sisters, let's pray that our young people would continue to stand tall for Christ, no matter how hated they are, and no matter how criticized they are by the world or even by other believers. The king ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought to him. Why did he order them? Well, let's look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they were brought, these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Then in verse 15, he offers them another chance to bow down. And that's the fourth characteristic of authentic faith. Authentic faith will have others seeking compromise in you. Now, this was a time, think about this, at least for me personally. This was a time it would have been so easy to compromise. Well, I took my stand. Everybody now, they know who my God is. So now I'll just go through the motions and I'll bow. Or the excuse, we can just bow outwardly, but in our hearts, we can still be true to the Lord. After all, the Lord sees our hearts. Or maybe they could have said, why don't I just give in just a little bit here? If I give in a little bit here, then I'll be able to go back to Babylon and I'll be able to serve God and honor him and bring other people to the true Jehovah. I mean, if I'm dead, I can't witness in Babylon, can I? So I'll just give a little here so I can witness for Christ more later. Do these excuses sound familiar? You know, it's interesting that Oakback, Fatlack, and Abigigo had already given in to compromise. And I'm sure the mindset that they had at that time made sense to them. You know, in certain situations, our minds can almost justify anything. And I'm concerned about Oakback, Fatlack, and Abigigo. But you know, that's in the past. It's us I'm concerned about now. You see, compromisers seek the neutral zone, the what we call the non-judgmental zone, the half and half zone. Some people put half and half in their coffee. How many of you put half and half in your coffee? I'm not going to be judgmental with you for that. You see, these people, these half and halfers, they don't want to commit to milk, but they don't want to commit to non-dairy, so they go half and half. But you see, you can't do that with Jesus Christ. You're either for Jesus Christ or you're against him. Young people, have you taken a stand that refuses compromise? Or have you laid down your life on the altar of compromise? Are you trying to be half and half? Half for Christ and half for the world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. Fifthly, we see the characteristic that authentic faith will have at its core a personal God. And Brother George emphasized this too. Bless you, Brother George, for your reading of the scripture. In verses 16 to 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which has been set up." Wasn't the answer they gave Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't that beautiful? And remember, when they said this, there were guards all around them, and the fiery furnace was just 50 yards away. I want us to notice how personal God was to them. They said, "Our God." They didn't say, well, a God or some force. Rather, our God is able to deliver us. Nebuchadnezzar, you are big, but our God is bigger. Nebuchadnezzar, you have a plan, but our God is bigger than you, and maybe he might change your plan. Nebuchadnezzar, if you choose, you can cast us into the fire, but our God might choose to bring us out of the fire. Verse 19. And just try to picture this. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, And it says, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Would you say Nebuchadnezzar had an anger management problem? Did you ever hear someone say he turned three shades of red? Well, it seemed Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he turned all colors. I can imagine he turned black. I mean, his face was, you talk about people's face being bent out of shape. Well, he was all contorted. He was that mad. And what an irony. I love ironies. Here was the leader of the world, bringing his people together to bring the focus of his empire's religion upon him. This was all a control thing, wasn't it? Controlling the population to worship the one he said was to be worshipped. Now here are these three Hebrew children saying, in front of all the people, from all languages and tribes, they're saying, go ahead, we dare you. Our God is bigger than you. You're just a man. He will deliver us if he chooses. Our God, our personal God, he can deliver us. Youth, is Jesus Christ your personal God? You know, when you get into that crowd that's pushing you into compromise, it will not work to say, well, the God of my dad said this, or the God of my mom said this. He needs to be your God, a personal God. You need to trust personally in the faithfulness of God towards you. You need to personally trust in the integrity of God towards you. You need to trust that his word is personally what's best for your life. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what happened with Oakback, Phatlack, and Abednego. Maybe just God was a God of, I mean, they were Hebrew youth. Maybe God was a God of their father, but he never became a personal God to them. And the trial, the fiery furnace, this trial showed that their faith wasn't authentic. Congregation, can we pray for our youth? Pray that God will be real and alive to them. Pray that God will be a personal God to them. Before the trials heat, before persecution come, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, he was up to the challenge. It says he got, and it's interesting the words, his most mighty men in his army to wrap ropes around their feet, hands, and their entire body. Can you see these gigantic, huge, muscular men binding up these three Hebrew children? These bodybuilder type men, they pick them up and they wrap rope around them as easy as dough is wrapped around a pretzel dog. They were ready for the oven. And maybe you're thinking, why tie them? Why tie them when these strong men were simply going to throw them into the oven anyways? When you're in the furnace, you don't need tied up because you're instantly dead. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was that mad, and most of the time, people that are mad can't think straight anyways. As soon as they were done tying them, can you see these huge, strong men? Probably one picked their leg up, and the other picked towards their shoulder up. And they ran to the furnace that had been heated seven times hotter, and they threw them in verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Why did they fall? Well, because their legs were bound. They could not stand. However, it's interesting, the guards that had carried them to the furnace also fell down because the flames leapt out and killed them. Scripture says that. They possibly inhaled the fire and died. I read that a furnace, this furnace was possibly between 1600 and 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. 2,000 degrees. Now, I also read that skin burns at 480 degrees. So contrast, 2,000 degree furnace, skin burns at 480 degrees. And I can see those guards who fell outside the fiery furnace, they probably lit up like flaming torches. But inside the furnace, it was a different story. Verse 24 and 25, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Notice they said, true, O king. Now, you and I, we'd have answered with a little bit more emotion than that, wouldn't we? We'd have been flipping out, you know, at what's happening inside there. But you got to remember, they were dealing with a king that's a madman. So they had to be a little careful how they answered. So they took the safe way. True, O king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Great King Nebuchadnezzar, world monarch, leader of the army, was now reduced to groveling with simple math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But I see four men in there. 4 - 3 = 1. There's one extra person inside this furnace of 2,000 degrees. And they're all walking around and they look well. And the fourth man, he looks supernatural. There's something different about him. Who was this fourth man? Many people believe he was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. This same Jesus Christ who would someday, in bodily form, deal with King Herod and Pilate. But right now, in the fiery furnace, he's enjoying proving to King Nebuchadnezzar that the only true God is the God of the Hebrews and the God of the world. Did you ever wonder what they talked about in there? To me, that would be fascinating to know that. Maybe they were talking about the distressed looks on the faces of those who were outside the furnace. What did Jesus say to them inside the fiery furnace? I don't know that answer. But I do know this. When my feet hit the fire, I need the fourth man. When my feet hit the fire, I need the fourth man. And that is the sixth characteristics of authentic faith. Authentic faith will bring the promise of the presence of Christ. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He was all worked up. He saw the guards outside the furnace burning like lamps. He saw the three that were inside the furnace and the fourth man walking around unhurt. You see, those inside the fire had peace. Those outside the fire were troubled. You see, it's all about that fourth man being with you. Young people, I'm not thinking that someday your feet might hit the furnace. The reality is, how soon will it be till it does? The reality is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the Spirit of God with them before they went into the furnace. I was thinking of this, and I just kept thinking about this. You know, it was as much a miracle as that idol was there in front of them. It was as much a miracle that they stayed standing as the music played as it was a miracle that they stayed standing inside the furnace. You see, God was their companion in their preteens. He was with them then. God was their companion in their teens. And here at the mature age of 23, God was still their companion. Had they not made God their companion before the fire, I doubt he would have manifested himself inside the fire. In fact, right now, Shadrach, I'm talking about right now. We're talking about the past, but now I want to talk about right now. Right now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the presence of Jesus Christ. Had they been burned up, they just would have gone to eternity a little bit earlier. But people like Oakback and Fatelack and a Big Ego, they didn't have the promise of his presence, not in this life or in the life to come. Young people, Jesus Christ so much wants a relationship with you. He's holding out his hand to you. He wants you to take his hand. He wants to be that fourth man to you. And yes, I know some of you, you might have the smell of trials on you. You might have been bound through circumstances, but I want to encourage you, let the fourth man grip your life and let him revolutionize your life. Will you allow him? He has chosen you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar made the God of Israel the God that was to be worshipped in the entire empire. Things were turned upside down by the authentic faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there is one last aspect of authentic faith that needs mention. And I feel this is also one of the most important. Is it accurate to say that Shadrach stood alone while everyone else kneeled? Is that accurate? No. He was definitely in the minority, but he was not alone. Meshach and Abednego stood with him. And that is the last characteristic. Authentic faith stands together. Alone, it falls. We'll never know what Shadrach would have done if the two others had bowed. Also, we'll never know if Oakback might have stayed standing if the other two might have stayed. But we do know that there is strength in standing together. Young people, if you're trying to stand for the Lord and your friends are bowing to sin, you cannot stand. You will fall. You are walking down a road of compromise. You will soon be bowing with them. Are there changes, young people, you need to make concerning your friends? Eternity is too long to not make a change. Find a rock that can stand with you. In a broader sense, do we adults at Pleasant Hill stand with our youth? Do we encourage them? Do we talk with them? Do we associate with them? We need to stand with them. We just can't wait till they get in trouble and then want to get involved in their lives. We have to stand with them now before their feet hit the fire. And in an even broader sense of application, we can see that Pleasant Hill, as a congregation, we cannot stand alone. We need other churches who are strong to fellowship with and support us, and we support them. You see, the idol of this world system, it looms over Pleasant Hill. The idol of this world's moral compass, it lies directly in Pleasant Hill's path. We can't stand alone. We need other conservative brethren churches to help us stand against evil. We need other brethren churches to help us with internal problems. We need other brethren churches to guide us and counsel us, and they need us as well. I want to close with a question to you. And this is a question not just for the youth, it's for all of us. Nebuchadnezzar asked this question to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "Is it true? Is it true? Is it true you do not serve my gods?" What is our answer? Is it true that we have a faith that stands up and is willing to be different? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bend. They did not bow. They did not burn. Will that be your testimony someday? May God bless you.